Welcome to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing news and other features of Jewish interest to Radio Sefarad's English-speaking audience in Spain and around the world. Our trivia question for this week is, why were the ultra-Orthodox residents of Sfad opposed to the city being defended by Palmach fighters? This week, Israel celebrates Yom Ha'atzma'ut, Independence Day. When Israeli independence was declared on May 14, 1948, the new state was immediately attacked by five regular Arab armies from neighboring countries. At first, Israel did not yet have a regular army and was defended by three paramilitary forces, each with its own ideology. The right-wing Lehi, or Stern Gang, the Irgun, a political predecessor to today's Likud, and the left-wing Palmach. Women were prominent in the Palmach, and this week we're going to learn about the part they played, especially in its Yiftach regiment. Amibar was born in Colombia and made Aliyah to Israel in 1967. He studied archaeology and history there and became a teacher and licensed tour guide. Ami lives in Gonen, a kibbutz in the Upper Galilee, very near the border with Syria and Lebanon, where many of the actions he describes took place.
Thank you very much for speaking with us today, Ami. I think that this is a topic that a lot of people really don't know about, and so I'm very happy that you can speak with us about it, about women and the role of women in the Israeli War of Independence. First, for people who are not that familiar with Israeli history, could you give us the dates of the War of Independence and briefly how it started and what countries were involved?
Okay, the invasion of five Arab countries into Israel took place on the 15th of May, 48. But the war had started already before. On the 27th of November, 47, we have what is called by the historians the Civil War, which was not really a civil war. It was only a war between the Jews and the Palestinians inside Eretz Israel. We were not invaded yet. So the fighting between the Palestinians and the Jews started on the 27th of November, as soon as the United Nations declared a partition of the country into two states.
And what were the other countries that were involved?
The other countries that invaded Israel in the 15th of May, 48, were Egypt, Jordan, Lebanon, Syria, Iraq, and Saudi Arabia also sent forces from Saudi, even if we don't have a common border with Saudi Arabia. The fighting that started in November 47 started between the Jews and the Palestinians inside Eretz Israel.
And then the invasion was in May.
The invasion was on the 15th of May, as soon as Ben-Gurion declared independence in that historic meeting in Tel Aviv.
And how long did the war last?
For about a year and a half, until July 49.
Okay, so tell us what the three Israeli forces were, briefly, and the role of women in each.
There was no Israeli army at this time. The army is formed much later, during the war. At this time, at the beginning of the hostilities, there were three underground forces, which were the Stern Gang, or the group of Stern, which was headed by Abraham Stern, an extreme right-wing leader. And then there was the forces of the Likud, of what would become the Likud, which is the Irgun Tzvai Leumi, the Irgun, commanded by Menachem Begin. Menachem Begin was the political leader and the military leader of this group. And then the third group, the biggest one, well, remember we're talking still about underground organizations, was the Palmach. The Palmach was sort of the private army of the kibbutzim, and it was the biggest one of them all. It had three regiments. The regiments about 1,500 people. Each regiment has three battalions. The three regiments were the Negev regiment in the Negev, the Harel regiment in the Jerusalem area, commanded by Rabin, and in the north, the Iftach regiment, commanded by Igal Alon.
So tell us about the role of women in the different forces, in the Irgun and in the Palmach. What role did women play?
Because of the composition of the population that made up these underground armies, the women were more represented in the Palmach because it is kibbutz. There is theoretical equality between women and men. And therefore, the women in Palmach were taking part in combat units. They were taking part in combat in the Stern Gang, which was a completely urban underground unit. It was like a guerrilla unit. We're talking about 48, where everything was done underground in a shady way. The women were used as couriers, carrying explosives, carrying grenades, carrying weapons, but not fighting. The third organization, which is the Irgun, commanded by Menachem Begin, there the women also were used in the same way as in the Stern Gang. Besides that, the origin of the women in the Stern Gang and the Irgun was bourgeois. They belonged to the bourgeoisie, to the middle class of the Yishuv. The Yishuv is what they call Eretz Israel just before the establishment of the state. So in the Yishuv, you had three forces. You had the Palmach, the Irgun, Irgun Tzvai Leumi, and the Stern Gang. The one where most of the women were fighting was in the Palmach.
Now, you said that in the Palmach there were three regiments. Can we concentrate mostly on the Iftach regiment? Who made up the regiment and where were they from?
The regiment was made up of kibbutznikim and kibbutznikiot from the north of the country, from the Galilee. I belong to Kibbutz Gonen. Kibbutz Gonen didn't exist in 48, but there were a lot of kibbutzim who existed already, like Dan, Daphna, Kfar Giladi, Sheara Yishuv, Ayelet HaShachar, and the forces fighting in the Iftach regiment came from those kibbutzim. The Palmach was the biggest military organization before the state was declared, because they could be hidden in the kibbutzim, working on the fields during the day, training at night. And that's what they were doing. That is, the British, which were in power, still in power in the country, couldn't detect them because they would appear as members of kibbutzim, even if they were not members of those kibbutzim. But they appeared as kibbutz sticking from this or that kibbutz. They were, on the other hand, they were graduates of youth movements, which today still exist, like the HaShomer HaTzair.
So, in other words, the Palmach, was functioning before the War of Independence because they were fighting against the British occupation.
The Palmach was created, how could I say, the British closed one eye. And they said, as long as you fight against the Arab gangs that were attacking the oil pipes from between Iraq and Haifa, we will help you. So they sent the man, Ort Wingate. The name doesn't sound Jewish because he wasn't Jewish, but he was a lover of Israel. He was a Bible scholar. He was a major. Became very famous during the Second World War. And he trained the forces of what would become later the Palmach. And he said, these fighters are great. They are great fighting material. They are so disciplined, so full of energy, so full of idealism. They were so full of idealism that they were called sometimes the gentlemen in stainless steel armor. Why do I say that? Because they were so full of ideology. Ideology like not to touch your enemy, which is in the Tanakh. They would read regularly before going into action. They would say, you will not touch the house of your enemy or the wife of your enemy or the animals of your enemy. That is, when they would go into an Arab town, they would not kill innocent civilians. They wouldn't touch the property or damage their animals, which is not the case with the other two organizations.
Okay, so let's talk about the actions of the battles that the Iftakh regiment participated in. First, can you tell us about the battle for Malkiya?
The first that happened on the first day after the state was declared on the 15th of May. The British left on the 14th of May. Their last ship with the last soldier left from Haifa for England on the 14th of May. And Ben-Gurion declared independence on the 15th of May. Immediately, Israel was invaded, as I said before, by the Egyptians from the south, by the Jordanian kingdom, which was then by what is called the Arab Legion, which is completely manned by British officers, by the Syrian army, the Lebanese army. The Lebanese and the Syrian army attacked from the north, from Lebanon, into Malkiya, which is it's an Arab abandoned town, and in the person in command happened to be Binyamin Ze'ev, which was called also Gandhi.
Why was he called Gandhi?
Because he was so thin that he looked like Gandhi. He was very thin. And when I saw him in the 70s, I couldn't believe it because he was already put on flesh. So he wasn't so thin. But in 48, he was as thin as Gandhi. So the force that came to defend Malkiya against the Lebanese-Syrian invasion from Lebanon left from kibbutz Ayelet HaShachar. So remember that we're talking about May, very hot, no water. So they left with only two canteens of water. They left on foot from Ayelet HaShachar and came to Malkiya to defend Malkiya against the Lebanese-Syrian invasion. Most of them were, I could say, a little bit above the, more than half were women, by coincidence. And they were called the Regiment of the Blue Shirts, because being kibbutzim, they used the blue shirts that were the trademark for work, and the pants were khaki. And the women were in charge of machine guns, which is a heavy, it's very heavy. They were Hotchkiss machine guns, that is Czechoslovakian machine guns, very big, very heavy. You need two people to carry them. It's not like they like machine guns that we have today, that only one person is enough. And then for fulfilling the role of infantry proper, were the men. That is, you have to attack and jump and crawl very fast when you're in infantry. And the women, apparently because of the way they were given the jobs, which are more static than that of the men. But they were defending the position as much as the men. And they were, as I said, a little bit more than half of the regiment. What happened during the fight, during the battle, the first battle, is that the Lebanese Syrian forces were the size of a regiment, overwhelmed the force that was in Malkiya, which was the size of a battalion. A battalion is between 300 and 400 people. And they had to withdraw, carrying their injured and dead in their backs. Remember, there is a non-written law that says you cannot leave your dead in the field of battle. You have to take them with you. And your injured goes without saying. So most of the medics were women. In an incredible act of heroism, carried the injured and the dead of that battalion from Malkiya all the way to Ramon Naftali, a distance of about, I'd say, kilometer and a half, 2 kilometers, dragging the dead and carrying the injured on their backs and crawling under fire. If you walked, like in the movies, carrying somebody in your shoulder, you'd be shot because the range of a rifle is close to that 1 kilometer. And the Syrians and Lebanese had Second World War rifles with that range. So they crawled back, dragging the dead and bringing the injured on their backs to Ramot Naftali, which is a moshav just across from my kibbutz. It's incredible. It's just incredible. That was such an act of heroism. I mean, for a woman who weighs less than the body, so she's carrying on her back, to do that in the middle of the day in May, 45, 40 degrees, no water. They had run out of water after 24 hours of fighting. And they crawled with these injured and these bodies all the way back to Ramon Naftali.
So, Ami, did they eventually win back Malkiya?
They eventually won back the Malkiya using a trick. They entered Lebanon from another point in Lebanon, in the most upper part of the Galilean Panhandle. They entered Lebanon from a completely not expected situation. And from the north, from Lebanon, they attacked the Lebanese positions in Malkiya, and they took it. The Lebanese and the Syrians in Malkiya were completely taken by surprise. They thought that those approaching them were Lebanese or army or Syrian army units, and they took them by surprise. That's how the kibbutz is called today, Malkiya.
Okay, tell us about Sfat.
In Sfat, we have, for the first time, we have the trouble that we have today. That is a disagreement between the Haredim, the ultra-Orthodox. Most of the population in Sfat were ultra-Orthodox. And when the Palmach fighters entered Sfat, they infiltrated into Sfat, crawling between the lines of the Arabs. That is, they went through Arab lines to get into Sfat in order to defend Sfat. They didn't attack the forces outside Sfat. They infiltrated into Sfat, crawling. The ultra-Orthodox were very much opposed to the Palmach people coming into Sfat because the Palmach girls were wearing work shorts, which were very short, the girls looked very much for the Ultra-Orthodox that were like naked. So the Ultra-Orthodox didn't want them in Tzfat. It was indecent to them. At the end, the commanders prevailed upon the girls to wear long pants. So they had to wear long pants in order to come into the town because they wanted the cooperation of the Haredim, of the Ultra-Orthodox.
So the boys were still wearing short pants and the girls were wearing
long
pants?
Yes, but that is allowed because theoretically you are not attracted to a boy in shorts. You're a male Orthodox. Anyway, during the battle for Tzfat, they won Tzfat, and stayed inside. This is also at the very beginning of the war.
Was there anybody else inside Tzfat fighting? I mean, were the ultra-Orthodox there fighting?
Only the ultra-Orthodox were inside, and they didn't know how to fight.
So if the Palmach hadn't entered, then Tzfat just would have gone to the Arabs?
That's right.
But at least nobody would have been wearing shorts, right?
Yes. The next place where they saw action was in the Jerusalem corridor. They joined the Harel Brigade. The Harel Brigade was fighting in the Jerusalem front. Jerusalem was under siege. They had no food, no water, no bullets, no ammunition, no nothing. It was completely surrounded by Arab forces. The road to Jerusalem was in the hands of the Arabs, or the Arab forces. So every time that a caravan bringing water, food, bullets to the besieged in Jerusalem would come, they would have to send the Palmach force accompanying the caravan in order to defend it against the forces, the Arab forces that were sitting on top of the road, in both sides of the road. So they were like sitting ducks for 2 hours while driving from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. So the job of the Iftach Brigade was to accompany those caravans. And every time they knew that they would have 10 or 20 people dead. So they were based on Kibbutz, Kiryat Anavim at night. By coincidence, my mother-in-law was one of those fighters in that place. She was in the Harel Brigade, which was fighting parallel to the Iftach Brigade. And she tells me how they would cry at night.
It's amazing that the caravans could get through it all.
I know. Until they founded what is called the Burma Road, which is a Roman road from the first century. They found the Roman road, and then they started driving over it, which bypassed the Arab forces. Then they started bringing the... There was no need to take over the Jerusalem-Tel Aviv road because this road, the Burma road, bypassed that road and went into Jerusalem. And since then, they started getting regular supplies of water, food, and ammunition. And the Arabs lost any hope of keeping Jerusalem for themselves. Besides the Israelis inside Jerusalem, the forces were those of the Arab Legion, which was the best military force that the Arabs had fielded. All the officers were British. And then after the action in Jerusalem, they were moved to the Negev, to the south, and there they joined the Negev Regiment, which is the third regiment of the Palmach. There they fought against the Egyptians. And they took by surprise the Egyptians by using an Egyptian road from about 1500 BC. The chief of staff at the time was the biggest archaeologist Israel ever had. And his name is Yigael Yadin, who besides being a scholar in archaeology, was also a general. He was in the Jewish brigade that fought in Italy against the Germans under the British army. So he was only 32. The chief of staff proper was Yaakov Dori. Now Yaakov Dori was sick with cancer and he couldn't work, he couldn't function as the chief of staff. So Yigael Yadin, who was only 32 years old, became the de facto commander of the Israeli forces of Israel during the War of Independence. Just another curiosity is that Yigael alone became the commander of the Palmach. After the action in Tzfat, he became the commander of the Palmach, that is all the three regiments. And he was only 28. A general, imagine, a general of 28. He had to be disguised as something much older so that the Arabs would treat him with respect, because the Arabs respect age, but not the rank. So he had to be dressed properly as an older person, as somebody who is 50 or 60. So they had to color his hair and put a mustache, a huge mustache, so that he would look older.
Did he have dealings with the Arabs?
Yes, when they would come to propose to them to give up under a white flag. If he had come under a white flag with black hair and as looking as young as he did, because he was very young, they wouldn't be willing to talk with him. Kavod is very important to Arabs. So they were not willing to deal with somebody who was not old. Old age is kavod for the Arabs.
Explain the word kavod.
Kavod means respect, honor. If they don't pay you respect, they will not be willing to deal with you, would negotiate with you. That happened when the Israeli army captured in a circle the Egyptian army. Gamal Abdel Nasser, the future president of Egypt, was inside the Egyptian forces encircled by the Israelis in the Negev. So when he came to negotiate with him, he dressed like an old man with a mustache, and they put powder on his hair so that he'd look old, because otherwise they would feel humiliated, as the same way as they would feel humiliated if they were defeated by women, because the Palmach had women.
So what did they do after the war, the Palmach?
In the middle of the war, the Palmach was dissolved by Ben-Gurion. Ben-Gurion, being a socialist, knew what happened to the Republicans during the Civil War in Spain. The Republicans lost the war in Spain because lack of united command. They had private armies. They had the anarchists, the socialists, the communists' armies. And here we had the Palmach and the Stern Gang and the Irgun. So he said, no, this is not going to happen. We have to win. So there will be no private armies. Everybody will become the army of Israel. They instituted a uniform, not anymore blue shirts and khaki pants, but everybody dressed in khaki. And that's what happened. It was dissolved during the war, and it was put under the command of the Israeli army.
So what happened to the Iftach regiment?
The Iftach regiment, like all the regiments of the Palmach, became settlers. They settled in Kibbutz Iftach, which carries the name of the regiment, and Kibbutz Malkiya. The girls soldiers that I talked before, became members of that kibbutz. They married their comrades, and today they are grandmothers and live in those kibbutzim.
When you say settlers, I think that you should explain that a little bit, because that has different connotations now.
Yeah, today has a difference. connotation. To settle an area is to sit down with and to found a settlement, to found a kibbutz or a moshav, whatever. Same thing happened in the south. The other two regiments of the Palmach settled in the south, and they set up new kibbutzim in the south or in the Jerusalem corridor.
These kibbutzim were mostly set up like along the borders, weren't they?
That's right. Most of the kibbutzim anyway were always near the border. Always. When you had to set up a new settlement, not at the border, but in the center, then you choose to set up a moshav, not a kibbutz.
Why is that?
Because a kibbutz allows itself much more to be a fighting unit. Everybody has weapons at home. Everybody has radio equipment. The moshav is families. Kibbutz was founded by single people, by single boys and single girls. So they were available at any second to get up and fight. And they had the weapons at home. It is like my kibbutz is smack on the Syrian border. So it was set up by the Nahal, which became the successor of the Palmach in about 63, because we were just under the sights of the Syrians. So and there was repeated shootings with the Syrians. If the place was too dangerous for civilians to live, they usually brought a nucleus of the Nahal, which became the successor of the Palmach. So today in Israel, we have the successor of the Palmach today in the army, in a regiment called Nahal.
Do they still set up kibbutzim?
They still set up kibbutzim, but since the Likud came to power, the Likud stopped settlement of kibbutzim. They didn't want more kibbutzim because the kibbutzim were socialists. So they set up only new moshavim, not kibbutzim.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Ami.
You're welcome.
That's it for this week. As always, we'd love to hear from you, so please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is EnglishCorner@RadioSefarad.com. See you next week.